أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So we're continuing on the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. We are discussing the hadith of the Mi'raj, and we're using this hadith to work on our own spirituality and becoming those elite soldiers of the Imam of our time. There was a question that was asked as a follow-up to yesterday's discussion, and I thought that I should answer that question. Yesterday we finally started on those traits which actually Allah said the Ahlul Dunya have, the people of this world. Who are the people of this world? We want to know, so if we have these traits, to eradicate these traits. The first one was overeating. Those people who overeat, or if I have that trait of overeating, then as a soldier of the Imam I have to work on that. Then, when we started to go over the steps of now, what should I be doing practically to better myself and ready myself for the coming of the Imam, one of those things that was suggested was exercise, that all of us should be exercising. This question is in relationship to that. It was from one of the sisters, actually. She says, what forms of exercise do you suggest for women? Can women jog and cycle in public? Most gyms are mixed. Can we use them while we're doing the hijab? And what about a fitness video? Let's say I'm in the house and I want to exercise and I'm watching a fitness video, but that video has music and dance involved in it. So what should I do? So the first thing I would suggest that inshallah when we have these programs in the future, when we have programs, we do get a chance for the alim to actually have a session with the sisters. Normally what happens is that the brothers get a chance to have sessions with the alim, they can sit and they can speak. But what's good is if the sisters also get a chance. But the question was a very good question, I want to answer it in relationship to this thing. Especially because those of our sisters are also going to be the mothers in the future and they will be raising girls. But it's important for our brothers to be hearing because they are the soldiers in the future, for the future of Islam, so they have to make facilities for these things to happen. The first thing that I would emphasize is about having a healthy self-image and especially working on that for our daughters. We live in a society in which many women do not feel good about themselves. They are battered by the society, hammered by images, and told what they should or should not be. So as Muslims, we have to work on building that up so that our children feel good about ourselves, especially our daughters. So that's one. So what we'll tell them the first thing before we get to the actual exercises is emphasize being beautiful on the inside, having taqwa and having fear of God. Next, being a person who's good-natured, that being a good Muslim, being a soldier of the Imam, being serious about the religion means also that I should be good-natured. In addition to that, be feminine. We're talking about our girls or the sisters or wives, that encourage them to be feminine and gentle and soft and girlish in the house. What happens is that sometimes these things which would be automatic, they're not encouraged, or we don't talk about these things, but these are all things that we need to be exercising. So beauty on the inside and being a girl, being a woman, celebrating this gift that Allah has given me. Not thinking, oh, in order to be somebody, I should be just like everybody else. No, we're different. That's one. The other one is to celebrate our individuality. I read the verse of Quran yesterday. It was Surah 30 and verse number 32, in which Allah explains that one of the signs of Allah is the differences of our languages and our colors. Allah made us different. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. I wish I could be something else. I'm not happy with who I am. That's incorrect. We want to be happy with being who we are. This is Allah's gift to us. And also, because we're talking to our daughters and getting them ready, be happy with how you look. I don't have to look like something else or somebody else. No, this is my gift. Celebrate my individuality. Be happy about that. We're different. We're all different shapes, sizes. I was explaining, I think, here that even our imams were different complexions. Some of the imams, their mothers were from North Africa. Dark in complexion. You read the book of Sheikh Mufid. Very dark. Imam Hassan Askari, for instance. Or other imams. So we're of different shades and colors, and our girls shouldn't feel bad. Oh, I don't look like this movie star or that person, so I feel bad about myself. No, I feel happy about that. Then also for our, just as another point for our sisters, especially when they get married, one myth that's out there, one concern that sometimes sisters have is that my husband doesn't find me attractive. So one myth that needs to be broken is that men like women with ordinary bodies. Men like women with ordinary bodies. I don't have to look like such and such a movie star and this. No, it's okay. So just to know that and have confidence in that. The last thing is that being beautiful and encouraging, because we're talking about exercise, and one of the reasons that was mentioned, that hadith of Hazrat Isa, was that it changed the way you looked overeating. Was that being beautiful starts with having confidence and working with what you have, which directly related now to the question of the sister. Allah rewards effort. So when we're encouraging people to exercise, and one of the reasons was that this will help me look better even, that was one of the things mentioned in the hadith, is that when we're encouraged to do this, we remember that Allah rewards effort. If I make a struggle, if I make effort, if I push, if a sister decides after she gets married that yes, now I want to start exercising regularly, this will start to have a create a better relationship between her and her husband. But first, what's the principle? The principle is this, that Allah rewards efforts. This is Surah 53 and it's verses 36 and 39. This is what it reads. Has he not been informed of what is in the scriptures of Musa? The people who are bad, who've been turned away. And Ibrahim, who fulfilled his covenant. So what happens in this verse is that Allah is telling us some important facts which are mentioned in three divine books. The scriptures of Musa, then the scriptures of Ibrahim, and now Allah is mentioning it in Quran. So what is this important message that Allah is about to tell us? The first one, Allah taziru waziratun wizra ukhra, that no bearer of a burden will bear the burden of another. None of us on the day of judgment will be asked about other people. Nobody will be able to carry my burden for me on the day of judgment. I cannot violate the laws of God because of what other people say. Oh, it's okay, I'll do it for you. No. It's not, you know, nobody can do your time. It's not like jail. Right? It's Allah. It's the day of judgment. Everybody does their own time. So I can't sin for anybody else. Also, though, it says that وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that a man will get nothing but what he strives for. Allah rewards effort. We have to make effort. So now, in this particular situation, we're talking about exercising and how important that is. And now the sister was saying directly as far as exercising for the sisters. And one thing I should mention for the sisters and the brothers is that this is an area that again will help to make the marriage very strong. Men will be so happy, they've done studies, they have statistics about these things, that if a wife suggests to her husband that I would like to start exercising, the guy's like, okay, where's my credit card? Let's get you into a gym. I have to take care of the kids. I have to do a little, oh, I have to stay at the house, clean up the house a little bit. That's great, alhamdulillah. So, you know, sisters, just thinking about it, the brothers start smiling. There might be some brothers in the audience smiling already. Wow, alhamdulillah, great. So sisters should exercise. And if they do make that effort, they do make exercise, the effort, Allah will reward them and He will bless them. So now, what are a couple of things about exercise? One is make it continuous. Imam Ali says in one hadith, small but continuous. This is for brothers and sisters. All of us are supposed to be exercising. We get
active, will start exercising, but then it's not continuous. Everybody should be exercising. Ayatollah Khamenei was speaking, and he was explaining, why is it that they encourage championship sports? Why is it that the Iranian football team is important? Why is it, right? He said, what happens is that if you encourage championship sports, everybody will look to these people who are the heroes in society, because they're doing well, they're exercising, they're champions in these things, and the society will start exercising. And he said, this is important for everybody. Older people, like myself, men, women, everybody is supposed to be exercising. So for our sisters, small but continuous, something that they do regularly. Secondly, if we can, women, there was a question, what about going to mixed gyms? Let's not start going to mixed gyms. There are some women's only gyms, and we should go for them. Next, because we will be building the centers in the future, inshallah, when we build Islamic centers, build facilities so Muslim sisters can exercise. Something that happens sometimes for Muslim sisters is that they see that the brothers, their brothers, get the chance to do everything. They can stay out late, they can go to the mall, they can drive a car, they can do this, and I'm a Muslim sister, so I can't do anything. I'm restricted. And sometimes the sisters feel a little bit resentful about that. But if we know that this is a situation, we can create an environment where sisters don't have to violate Allah's laws. In our center, we have a certain night, the sisters come, they exercise, they play games, these things. It's all wonderful. So we should do that. The third thing was the exercise video. We know that in Islam, we have to have taqwa of Allah and fear of God. What happens, one of the main or one of the sins that's committed is the sin of listening to this haram music and singing and dancing, right? The singing. So what happens is that it doesn't mean that all music is haram. It doesn't mean that all music is haram. There's a couple of conditions that we should look for to make sure if I'm listening to music that it's not haram. The first one is that it's not suitable for a vain gathering. The music that I want to listen to, it shouldn't be suitable for a vain gathering. If it's suitable for a vain gathering, even though I'm not in a vain gathering, I'm sitting and I'm listening, that's inappropriate. Secondly, that the way that it's sung, is it being sung in such a way? So you look in the fatwas of some of the maraja, is it being sung? So one was just the music itself, just the beat. Was that beat suitable for a vain gathering or not? The next one is the song that's being sung. Is that song suitable for a vain gathering or not? Lastly, what is mentioned in some of the fatawa is batil words. Words, lyrics, which get me far from morality. You listen to some of those songs, you don't even want your children to hear people talking about these things, let alone glorifying these things. It gets us far, pushing us towards immorality. So we want to look for those things and make sure that's not in the music. So now, if that's not in the music, then we can relax and listen to it and enjoy. We don't have to feel guilty, or I'm doing haram, it's not just this. No, it's okay. We'll listen to it, we'll enjoy it, it's okay. Because the question was that if I'm listening to a music video, not a music video, but I'm exercising, what should I be doing or not doing, or worried about it or not? If it has those criteria, I have to be worried about. If not, I can relax and listen to it and do my exercise with that. Lastly, if it does and I can't do anything about it, then I need to make sure I turn that music down. I can watch the video so that I go through the routine and the exercise, but I don't listen to that haram music. After that, the sisters should also, once I'm doing this exercise thing, make sure that I actually do show off after that. That's another need for the women. That actually, that after I do that exercise, that I do that. This hadith, it says, the best of your women is the woman who shows off for her husband and is chaste with other than him. And then for our guys, that they lavish them with compliments. Verse of Quran, Surah 5, and verse number 2, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Assist one another with righteousness and good deeds. So she's doing a good deed by dressing up, you do a good deed by complimenting her. Before we move on to our main topic tonight, there's a question that could come into mind, and that is that why is it that we keep hearing reminders about marriage or our relationship with our spouse or how we should be? What we're doing right now is this is, in Islamic Irfan, there are two levels. There is a level that we do with a specific spiritual teacher, in which we are given specific a'mal and the teacher is watching over us. We're referring back to that teacher, sometimes on a monthly basis, maybe sometimes other than that, and getting specific instructions. There's another time before that in Islamic Irfan, which I don't have a specific teacher. Even for that level, it's good to have a spiritual teacher, but I'm living in the West, I don't have a spiritual teacher. In that level, I'm given specific a'mal, which I should be doing, certain practices which I should be doing to elevate myself. Some of these practices are practices which I need to do on a daily basis. Some of them are specifics to the months of the year. For this month, you need to do this action and this action. Amongst those instructions in a'mal, after the ibadat themselves, one of your most important instructions is the relationship between your spouse. That's where a lot of us go wrong. So why is there emphasis? Because we're trying to go on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt. At this level, before we reach the level that we're actually working with a teacher, one of the things we need to be concentrating on is that. Now, the next trait. Allah, when He was describing the Ahlul Dunya, He described them in several ways. There's several traits, we only get a chance to discover a few of them nowadays. The next trait we want to talk about is over-laughing. If I laugh too much, that's also a sign of me being Ahlul Dunya. So what does that mean? Question, does Islam want us to be gloomy? To be sad? To be depressed? Is that what it means to be spiritual? Being spiritual means that I'm always nervous and sad and grieving and remembering the last day? Is that what Islam wants? We discussed previously that Islam is a religion that tells us first you enjoy life in this world and then the hereafter. Being happy is one of the needs of your fitrah. In order to accomplish my practical duties and my social duties, I have to have an inner state of happiness. That's the way it goes. So what happens in Islam is that we will say that sometimes happiness, short-term happiness, conflicts or causes long-term sadness. And in that case, yes. In that case, you have to avoid those kinds of happiness. That's incorrect. That'll lead us to the hellfire. So happiness has a role and it's supposed to bring us to God. In the same tone, sadness has a role. It's not extreme on one side or the other, that no, I should never be sad, I should always be happy, I should always be charged up. No, there's a time for me to cry, to grieve. And again, the way this fits in is this will also bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a little bit about happiness to understand what this hadith of the Ahlul Bayt means. What does it mean when they say the people of this world are people who laugh too much? Does that mean that I shouldn't laugh, I shouldn't joke? What are the recommendations of the Ahlul Bayt in this regard? This hadith is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Actually, both hadith that I'm about to quote are in this fashion. The hadith goes like this: مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ دُعَابَ. There is no mu'min, no believer, except that he has a sense of humor. All mu'mineen are supposed to have a sense of humor. You know, one of the things that they didn't like about Amir al-Mu'mineen was that he had a sense of humor. They said, no, he's not serious enough. Someone who should be the Khalifa should be somebody who's stern and ferocious. And Amir al-Mu'mineen would joke and play and friendly, and he was serious at other times too. But the mu'min's not always supposed to be, I'm trying to be spiritual, so I'm always, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Looking at everybody. Relax. Inside your heart, between you and God. But the smile is on the face of the believer. This next hadith, the Imam asks, he says, how are you, talking to some of his Shia, he says, how are you with joking with one another? Do you joke with one another? So the man said, قُلْتُ قَلِيلٌ. We don't joke with one another, hardly at all. And the Imam said, don't do that. He said that, فَإِنَّ الْمُدَاعَبَ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. Part of having good akhlaq, being pleasant nature, is that you're playful, you're friendly, you talk to people, you can relax, you can have a good time. Yes, you have fear of the Day of Judgment, but you're also lighthearted when it comes to these things in this world. He said, فَإِنَّكَ لَتُدْخِلُ بِهَا السَّرُورَ عَلَىٰ أَخِيكَ. He says, when you are playful, when you're lighthearted, when you'll smile a little bit, he said, you make happiness enter into the hearts of a believer. What happens is one of the greatest good deeds you can do is to make other mu'mineen happy. We have hadith, but we don't have time. But one of the things that you'll see when you go into your grave, inshallah, because we'll all go into the grave one of these days, is that you'll see that there'll be a beautiful youth who will enter the grave with you. Then when you go out, and this person will be calming you down, when you see the horrors of the Day of Judgment, they'll keep giving you the good tidings of paradise, it's okay, you're all right, we're gonna win this, it's okay. And you'll be telling that person, wow, now you are an excellent person. What a wonderful companion. I'm in the grave, I'm terrified. And this person is taking you through all of the stages. And then you'll ask that person, it's hadith, you'll ask that person, who are you? He said that, I'm the happiness that you caused for other believers. Making other believers happy, smiling at other believers, that's a good thing in Islam. Then the Imam continued. He said that Rasulullah, لَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُدَاعِبُ الرَّجُلِ. The Prophet of Allah used to be humorous with the believers, in order to please the believers, in order to make the believers happy. So our picture of Islamic spirituality is not one of being, you know, malakul maut, you know, that when you come in the room, you know, people are like, you know, Allahu Akbar, no fun now, he's here. No, making other people happy. So normally, the Prophet of Allah and Amirul Mu'mineen would joke more with women and children. So this is another thing, just a pointer for our brothers, that sometimes we hear about hadith about being silent and trying to practice not speaking so much and talking less and these things. Quick reminder, don't practice silence in the house. Right? I've heard that it's not good to talk extra, so I come home, my wife is there and I'm sitting, you know, I'm contemplating. You know, I'm a serious mu'min. La ilaha illallah. I know. In the house, relax, you play, you joke, talk. Your family needs that. So Amirul Mu'mineen and Prophet, so just one joke, they said that once the Prophet of Allah, he was sitting and he was eating dates with Amirul Mu'mineen. Prophet of Allah sitting, Amirul Mu'mineen sitting, and they're both lighthearted, they're eating dates. So what the Prophet of Allah would do was he would take the dates that he was eating, after he ate the date, he would take the seed and he would put it in front of Amirul Mu'mineen. So let's say they both have 20 dates here, and he's eating his dates, but every date he eats it, and he puts it in front of Amirul Mu'mineen. So then after he finished, he said, you know, Amirul Mu'mineen, who ate the most dates? You know, like, I mean, my goodness, what are you doing? So many dates over here. So Amirul Mu'mineen responded, he said, the person who ate the dates and the seeds. So, the thing with us, they say about the Prophet of Allah, that he was always smiling. Nobody smiled more than the Prophet of Allah. Even when the Prophet of Allah would speak, تَبَسَّمَ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. The Prophet of Allah, he was talking to you, he would be smiling while he spoke. Smiling while he spoke. They said the only time that the Prophet of Allah wouldn't be smiling, because he was always smiling, three times, they said when he was giving admonition. He was warning the believers about their duties, the Day of Judgment, the seriousness of the grave. No, the Prophet of Allah wouldn't smile about that. He was dead serious. That's not a joke. What's going to happen on the last day? What happens if you commit various sins? That time, or when he was thinking about the Day of Judgment and how serious it is. You know that on the Day of Judgment, when hell is brought forward, everybody will be calling out. Even Hazrat Ibrahim, it said that he will say, oh Allah, remember me. I'm your Khalil. I'm your friend. Hazrat Ibrahim was always making prayer for his dhurriya, his children. On the Day of Judgment, when he sees the hellfire, Even then. So this is very serious things. And the other time they said was when revelation was being revealed. The Prophet was serious in these three times. But otherwise, no, the believer should be smiling and happy and these things. So now, what is it? So it's not that as a believer I never laugh, I never joke. No, that's it. So now what is it? What are some of those things that make me one of those people who laugh excessively? Make me Ahlul Dunya, that Allah doesn't like. What are the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt about that? One of those is when we mock other believers. We ridicule others. We make fun of them. I want to be a happy believer, so now I'll single somebody out of the crowd and I'll make fun of them. Let me just quote one verse of Quran. This is in Surah 49 and it's in verse number 11. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, let not one group of people ridicule another group of people. Allah doesn't like it when we mock others. We make fun of them. We belittle them. We make them small in order to make ourselves big. If we see somebody else being mocked and ridiculed, instead of us joining in, oh, we're just having a laugh, we stand up. That's incorrect. It continues. It says, maybe they are better than you. One of the reasons that we mock people, or we make fun of them, is because based on worldly conditions and worldly situations, I think I'm better than other people. I'm from a better family. I'm better looking. More money. More position. So these worldly values become inculcated in my heart. I think I'm better than others. Kibr. Arrogance. God forbid. We ask Allah for protection from that terrible, terrible sin. So, but it continues. It says, وَلَا نِسَىٰ مِن نِسَىٰ, let not women mock and ridicule one another. Sometimes people are very religious on the outside, praying, fasting, doing the wajibat, but then when it comes to the sin of riba and backbiting and talking about others, sometimes the Quran mentions women. Men, when they do it, also women. So that kind of laughter, which is mocking and making fun of and belittling other mu'mineen, if we're doing that, ahlu'd-dunya. Ahlu'd-dunya. Next one, and this one's slightly different. Laughter for no reason. There's nothing funny going on. I'm just sitting in, just laughing my head off. No, nothing funny going on. I have to laugh. Sit, it's okay. Something funny happens, okay, we laugh. But no. We have hadith that says that there are three things which make Allah very angry. The word they use is maqt, right? Very angry. We ask Allah for forgiveness. We hope that we're never exposed to His wrath. One of those things is saying that when we eat when we're full. We talked about this the other day, overeating. I'm full, I'm stuffed, but then I still continue to eat. Makes Allah angry. Another thing that said that laughing about nothing, it's not funny, no funny situation, just sitting and laughing our heads off. No, that Allah doesn't like that. And the other one, and I need to look at, see what the ulama actually say and how they make sense of this hadith. It says sleeping without waking up. I wonder if that's sleeping without waking up for Salatul Layl, the night prayer. Because one of the spirit, it's not what, is this wajib if I don't make Salatul Layl, I'll go to the hellfire? No. Not a big deal. But if you want to be one of the soldiers of the 12th Imam, you want to go on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, the night prayers are your steed. It gets you to God. We have hadith from Imam Askari that the journey to Allah is a journey that you take by night, and you take the night as your steed. The night prayers are your steed. So maybe what's meant here is a person who sleeps all day and doesn't make the night prayer. The other thing that's mentioned in the hadith is that excess laughter, laughing too much, being one of these ahlul dunya, it compromises your dignity. The mu'min, the believer, is supposed to be dignified. We're not light. We're not, right? You're light-hearted. You laugh, you joke, you're friendly, you're smiling. But is the believer somebody who's undignified? One of the things that we're not allowed to do to ourselves is we're not allowed to humiliate ourselves. If you look at the fatwas of some of the maraja, haram shara'an. The mu'min has dignity because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't even have the right to humiliate yourself. When Imam Hussein says in Karbala, hayhat minna dhilla. That's what we all say. Hayhat minna dhilla. We're not allowed to humiliate ourselves. The Shia is dignified. So what the hadith now? It says that don't laugh too much. So we're not saying don't laugh at all, but laughing too much, one of the things it does is it compromises and it takes away that dignity. The other thing that's mentioned in some ahadith is laughing with a very loud voice. Just laughing our head off. We have in hadith, the same khutbah of the muttaqeen, it says that the pious person, when they laugh, in dhahika lam ya'lu sawtuh. That when he laughs, his voice is not very, very loud. Some people, when they laugh, they just get down. I mean, they're just, you know, rocking. So no, we laugh, it's okay, it's funny, but not in that manner. The hadith, another hadith says, al-qahqaha min ash-shaytan. Al-qahqaha min ash-shaytan. That loud, wild laughter. The other thing that's mentioned is if it's laughter which is coming because the person is heedless of Allah and the Day of Judgment. Hadith now. Allah says in the same hadith of Mi'raj, He says that, I am surprised at three of my servants. I'm surprised at three of my servants. And when we say Allah's surprised, it doesn't mean that Allah's hair stands on end, that Allah's like, oh my God, what? No. But the action is so strange that Allah says that He's surprised by it. One of them is this, وَعَجِبْتُ مِنْ عَبْدٍ and I am surprised at that servant, لَا يَدْرِي أَنِّي رَاضٍ عَنْ أَمْ صَاخِتٌ عَلَيْهِ. He doesn't know whether I'm pleased with him or I'm angry with him. وَهُوَ يَضْحَكُ and he's just laughing and having fun and heedless. Is Allah pleased with the way I'm living my life? Am I living the way Allah wants me to live? Am I a soldier of the Imam in practice? No, that's not important. I'm just laughing, having a good time with the boys. No. That one also is one of those types of laughter which is discouraged. So it's time now for the Maghrib prayers. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad that He make us the true soldiers of Imam Mahdi. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad that He accept what was said and heard in His way. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad that He forgive us and protect the believers, all of the Maraja and the leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Salawat.